97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Taking me back to the old country there, Carl Middleman. Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and the producer, Carl Middleman.
Hi there. Ciao, bella.
Ciao. Yeah, I just got back from Italy, so they're giving me a little taste of my vacation. That was nice. You ever been there, Bo?
I have not, but I am half Italian, so I should. but was this a promotional trip, like with listeners,
Was
this you and your wife?
No, 30 years of a marriage. We wanted to plan something special, so we went to the Amalfi Coast, the southern coast of Italy, around Naples, just south of there in Sorrento, and then Positano and Amalfi, the little villages that are tucked up into the mountains right on the edge of the water, and it looks like something out of a postcard. It's just so gorgeous.
And how was the weather while you were there?
You know, their weather is similar to ours. It was in the high 50s and low 60s. Actually, it was warmer here a couple days while we were there. They had it rained the first couple days, but then the sun came out, and I mean the Bay of Naples there is just gorgeous. The water's crystal clear, and it's volcanic, obviously, because as you arrive in Naples and leave the airport, or as you look across the bay from our hotel there in Sorrento, the predominant thing that you see is Mount Vesuvius, which, of course, buried Pompeii and all those areas in, like, I don't know, 46 AD. So right. It's been a couple thousand years, but it's just the beaches are black sand, which is gorgeous. I mean, it's all from the volcanic ash and rock that predominates that area. But it's truly some of the most beautiful scenery and just the nicest people. I mean, we had a great time.
And I do want to ask about the food, but while you were there, it was just you and your wife on the trip, or was there a group? Because I thought I saw a group in some of your Facebook posts.
Two other couples went with us the people were at our wedding, so we've known them that long. I mean, two old friends, and Michelle went to college with a couple of them, and they accompanied this. And we had a fantastic time. Ate way too much. Discovered that I'd been eating pasta wrong my entire life.
And talk to me, Goose.
I didn't know that until I got to Italy, because
it's not like here.
It's not like baby food. I overcook my pasta noodles, apparently, because everything there is al dente. Like, it's a shock to the system. It almost tastes like it's not done cooking yet, but they cook it al dente when they cook it. So
they're European.
I mean, that's just the way they've done it. It's not like it's not bad. It's just different. If you're used to something soft and mushy like baby food versus something you have to chew, it's a little different, right?
But you've been cooking it wrong.
I've been cooking it wrong, I'm sure. The sauces are fantastic, and it was. And they use very little meat. Like, even if you order a pasta with like salsiccia or something like that in it, there's still just a few pieces of meat, and most of it just the pasta and the sauce.
Wow, okay. So yeah. I had a trainer one time years ago tell me pasta is the worst crap you can put in your body, and I'm like, oh, but I love pasta. I'm half Italian. Did you try the pizza?
Tried the pizza. I'll send you a picture of one of them that I ordered. Again,
margarita pizza.
There's no meat lovers pizza over there. They don't do anything like that. Like, you might find one with the sausage in it that I mentioned, or one that had pepperonis in it, or some Italian ham of some sort.
But one pepperoni per slice.
Yeah, it's not littered with meat. I guess that's just not the way they eat, and maybe that's why they're healthier than us. We went through one of the villages. It might have been Ravella or Amalfi, but they told us that just because of the way they eat over there, they eat clean. A lot of the people live to 100 years old. I mean, they're
also healthy. Walk everywhere.
They walk a lot on hills.
Yeah, and a doctor of mine that I talked to said that if you eat, she's a functional medicine doctor. She said that people that have a gluten intolerance here could go to Europe because they process the wheat so much differently that a gluten-free person here could go to Europe and eat gluten over there and be fine. So as you look around, in Europe and in Italy, was there a lot of overweight people?
No. No, I don't remember noticing that at all. And here's what else I noticed. They did have gluten-free on the menu for the most part. Here's the other thing I noticed.
That's for Americans.
They serve multiple portions. There's like the appetizer and then round one and round two and then dessert. And they're in no hurry because they don't really take tips. They're working for a salary, so they're not pressuring you to free up the table for the next group.
Yeah,
and dinner is like a two-hour ordeal. I mean, it's just the nature of it. The other thing I noticed, Bo, is that there's no road rage in Italy.
What?
I noticed this a little bit when I was in Ireland a couple of years ago. But the roads are very narrow. They were made for mules years ago. And when the buses have to pass each other, sometimes one has to back up a little bit for them to squeeze by. The only time I heard a horn beep is to thank the other guy for backing up. I mean, it's not like it's not done in anger. Mm-hmm. And I get back to the United States and I'm driving home from the airport and people are flipping me off. I mean, it's a completely different attitude that we could probably learn something from about the way they handle driving over there.
Yeah, I'm home, baby. Yeah, flipping off. That's good. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, we had a fantastic. I would highly recommend that. I've been to Rome. I've been to Dallas, Texas. Wait a minute, that's a Van Halen song.
Yes.
So I've been to Rome. I've been to Florence. I've been to Venice, and I the Amalfi Coast is my favorite part of Italy so far. I just have to say
that's wonderful. Well, happy anniversary.
30 years. 30 more to you, buddy.
30 years. How about that?
Congratulations. And,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Hey. Yep. Coming up here, we've got a great conversation about your Second Amendment rights and kind of how they're under threat these days. Sometimes you don't realize exactly how they're under threat.
A little bit, yeah. We're going to get Mark Walters, who's a regular on the Mark Cox Morning Show, who's going to join us from Armed American Radio. He's a national radio host, broadcaster, great guy. We're going to talk to him about what in the world is going on and the attacks on our Second Amendment on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Love that music. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bill Matthews, alongside Mark Cox, and our executive producer, always, Carl Middleman. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you're looking for a silencer for your firearm, go to the best gun store in all of St. Louis. Stop into Razorback Armory. They're in DePere on Manchester Road. They do a great job arming America. If you need knowledge, they've got it for you. Find them at RazorbackArmory.com or just go head to the store. Now, our first guest of the show is Mark Walters, and an old buddy of mine always gives resumes of people that he talks to or talks about. So Mark Walters, Armed American Radio on-air national radio host, broadcaster, author, columnist, and commentator, and founder and owner of Armed American. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for keeping up the good fight, man. So the attack on the Second Amendment continues, and what would you say is the most important thing that listeners of this show are understanding about where we're at?
Oh boy, loaded question, Bo. I honestly, you have to put it in context of everything else that's going on around there. And by that I mean, let's go back a number of years. Gun owners have been witness to attacks like this demonizing us for many years, long before the quote unquote culture war became as visible as it is. And when you put it in the context and juxtapose it against where we're at now, you see how it all fits together, how it's all part and parcel of the same thing. That speaks to, at least in my mind, the importance in their mind of disarming the population. That's the first thing that they started going after, was the right to bear arms, and demonizing us the way they're demonizing us now if we're intolerant, in their estimation, of 0.5% of the population, as they push this stuff down our throats, Bud Light, all this other nonsense. You go to foxnews.com right now as we speak, two of the top five stories are transgender related. Give me a break. So, this stuff masquerading as news now, combined with the attacks against us, you've got to look at this in the total perspective. And it brings you right back to that one question. What is it about their agenda overall now that requires us disarmed? And why are they pushing that aspect of it now harder than they ever have before? This all ties together. And the real simple answer to that is, in my estimation, because they can't do what they want to do to this country when 150 million of us are armed.
That's a great point, which means, Mark Cox here, great talking to you, my friend, which means it just shows through the lie that they support the Second Amendment. They only want to get rid of a certain kind of weapon, because the minute they realize that didn't work, just like we told them it wouldn't work, then they're coming after all of them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you can see right through it when you know what their ultimate goal is.
Well, Mark, that's a great point also. Let's point to, using your comments, let's point to Washington State. Jay Inslee, the governor, just signed a, as they like to call it, a sweeping gun control bill. It really contained three important measures, but the one we'll focus on here for discussion will be wiping out assault weapons, including, the bill says, the AR-15 and AK-47. Washington just banned on their list of assault weapons over 50 semi-automatic rifles. Their ultimate goal is to demonize you, wipe out all semi-automatic rifles. That's where they're going to start, because that's the low-hanging fruit, as you and I have talked about many times, and then move in the other direction. Because here's why. If you look at the crime numbers that they quote, they cherry-pick. They pick and choose their fights. So many people were killed in America, whatever that number is. The vast majority of that is black-on-black, inner-city gang-related crime, not committed by a criminal with a rifle, which accounts to only 500 deaths right now. That's just FBI numbers, not mine. It's not USA Today's figures, whatever they want to make up. It's actual crime statistics from the Uniform Crime Report. So when they get rid of all rifles, they're going to look and they're going to say, well, that didn't put a dent in crime. We have to go after handguns, which is their ultimate goal. And they're in the process now of demonizing the phrase semi-automatic because, well, virtually every handgun in America is semi-automatic. And then you look at the ATF changing the definitions of a bump stock is now a machine gun, which the Fifth Circuit has said, no, it's not. And then just yesterday's ruling, the 25th, I should say, 2 days ago, from the Sixth Circuit that found the same thing, that the ATF doesn't have the authority to do what they did, only Congress does, on the bump stocks. Now you look at pistol braces, it's the same thing they did to bump stocks. We expect the same thing to happen with pistol braces. All of this is eventually designed to move semi-automatics into the National Firearms Act to register them so they know where they are. And that step has been, they're working on accomplishing that right now. Fortunately, there's a lot of pushback and we're continuing to fight. That's why we need everybody in this fight with us.
Alters is our guest. He is an active member on the board of directors of Citizens Committee for the Keep and Bear Arms. You know, I've decided to change my wording because it really does come down to a word, from an assault rifle to a defense rifle. And there is a reason why people want higher capacity magazines, because if you are your own first responder and you have multiple people coming at you, you need more than one round in a chamber. You need to have that. Let's be honest. Gun control is really about just control. And the wonderful thing that Americans have at this point in the game is we can look to other countries that have banned weapons altogether. Venezuela, Australia, they're all over the world. We have examples of what happens to those societies. And if you haven't done your homework, just look it up on what has happened to those other countries, because it's absolutely frightening. So as the Democrats continue to rail against the assault rifles, if you will, what can Americans do other than the voting booth to protect our Second Amendment?
Go out and buy another one. Amen. Do it today when you're done listening to Bo and Mark and Mark.
I love it.
Go buy another one. You know, it's fun to talk about this stuff. You know, I was watching Ozark. Because I don't watch TV fake news anymore. I cannot start my day in a bad mood watching this nonsense thrown in my face all day masquerading as news. So I started watching Ozark, and it's kind of fun for me because it was filmed right around my area, all throughout my neighborhood. My own marina was used as a filming ground for it, and my son appeared in episode 7 in Ozark, and he was a part of a group of kids that were being taught how to use a rifle in the film. And I noticed in one of the scenes yesterday as I was watching it that I hadn't caught before, a young guy, an older guy, looks like a young guy, made a straw purchase for one of the main characters' underage sons. And when they were doing it, they made the gun owner or gun shop owner look like a real bad guy checked his ID, found out that he put something on the form that he couldn't use. He said, I think you meant to put this on here. And while we're at it, would you like a high-capacity magazine for that? You know, yeah. I threw my head up and said, I didn't catch that before. But this is the way it permeates culture. This is the way they get this nonsense into media, that the gun dealer is a bad person. All gun dealers are bad people. We have Dettelbach making a fool of himself at a judiciary hearing just the other day, refusing to admit if they would go door-to-door or arrest people that don't follow their new rules. You know, this is frightening stuff. So how do you combat this? Join groups like the Second Amendment Foundation. Join conversations like this. Get vocal about it. Go out and buy a new gun.
Yeah.
You know, I'd point out to that, Mark, as well. And I say this to people on my radio show all the time. We pay a lot of lip service. I expend a lot of hot air talking about the Second Amendment and the threats to the Second Amendment all the time. I'm not quite sure what that accomplishes, except hopefully I'm educating a few people. What I do also tell them is go to saf.org, Second Amendment Foundation, because before the ink was dry on Mark Inslee's new Second Amendment violating law he signed the other day in Washington State, the Second Amendment Foundation went to court and filed suit against it.
Instantly, literally within seconds of the signature of the bill, the Second Amendment Foundation was there. In fact, their executive director, Adam Kraut, put a tweet out with a copy of the lawsuit that said, at AG Washington, here's your lawsuit. Boom. It was instantaneous. And guys, people need to understand that groups like the Second Amendment Foundation, Bo and Mark, I don't know if you know these numbers, I'll give them to you and listeners now, are right now, Second Amendment Foundation has 50 active cases.
Wow.
Across the United States fighting for gun rights. Eight of those cases are taking on Democrats' assault weapons bans. We know we're going to get this to the Supreme Court. We know we're going to win it. But this is how we do it, and this is not free. You know, a membership to SAF is only $15 a year, and that's what's funding these lawsuits. And it's important to point out that the Second Amendment Foundation is responsible for 85% of the pro-gun court victories across this nation. It's not the NRA. It's not the Gun Owners of America. It's the Second Amendment Foundation that is doing the heavy lifting over there. So please join us. We need the assistance, obviously.
Yeah, we can sit around a bonfire and drink whatever beer we want to and complain, but getting involved is way more important. If you used to have a bowling league or a softball league you used to go play, you know what? That's fine for a pastime, but getting involved in understanding what is going on in the attack against the Second Amendment is what is necessary. Mark Walters, author of 3 books, Lessons from Armed America, Lessons from Unarmed America, and Grilling While Armed. Can you tell us a little bit about that book? I want to know about it.
Yeah, that's my favorite of the books that I've written, and I'm in the process now of adding some new recipes. My buddy, a partner, and I, one of the greatest gun reviewers in America, by the name of George Hill. He goes by the name The Mad Ogre. George and I, we took some of my favorite barbecue recipes, and I don't talk barbecue. To me, is not a gas grill. That's just a stove outside. We're talking using firewood and coals in a stick burner and actually cooking up real food. And we paired up great firearms to wear on your hip while you're smoking up some of these great recipes.
I love it. Sort of like Ted Nugent did with Kill It and Grill It, right?
Yeah, you better believe it, except ours is better. And I know Ted, so he won't take offense to that. You know, a good example is pairing up the Glock 23 or the Glock 19 with meatloaf. You know, they just go hand in hand, right?
Do they now?
Well, the Glock is like the meatloaf of carry firearms,
yeah,
right? So that's how we do it.
That's true. That's a great point.
I can't believe you shamed gas grilling. I just gas grill because I'm impatient and I'm hungry now, so might want to rethink that gas grill.
We can fix that.
Whatever. I'm not a planner.
You've got 15 minutes of time to watch the wood burn. I know you can find that time.
Yeah, Bo spends all of his time in his thought tub. That's what he calls it when he's listening to my show in the morning. Right, Bo?
But I'm not boiling my meat.
That's a good thing. I hope not.
Hold on.
Yeah, you're a liberal. Don't buy grilling while armed. It won't work for you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Oh, boy. You know, Mark, you and I talked about this the other day on my show, I think, but the SAF is also involved in fighting over here across the river in the great state of Illinois. We have a lot of listeners in southern Illinois. You know, southern Illinois, if you cut the state off below Springfield, would be a red state. But unfortunately, yep, they have to deal with all those idiots that live in Chicago. And you guys, the SAF, as a spokesman for them, they've been right at the spear point of trying to stop this crazy assault weapons ban. And even the FOID card, they're challenging, yep, that, because why should the Second Amendment says my rights shall not be infringed? Why do I have to go beg the state for a card before I can go to a licensed firearm dealer and buy a gun?
You shouldn't. And the supermajority Republicans in North Carolina just wiped out that phony idea as well. And I feel for people in southern Illinois, just like I feel for the folks in eastern Washington and eastern Oregon, who are, and even California. If you look at the electoral map of California, you get out of the big liberal-controlled metropolitan areas, there's lots of red counties in these states. And I feel for these people. This is a huge part of the culture war that's going on right now. And, you know, we have a lot of listeners on Armed American Radio and throughout the state of Illinois, including Chicago, because they're starved for this information that the city government and state government doesn't give them, are some of the things that we talk about. You know, the Second Amendment Foundation just filed another motion in a years-long case they've been fighting, assault weapons bans, et cetera, in Illinois, Cook County, et cetera. So this is an ongoing process, and that's why the left does this, guys, because they know. Like, Inslee knows what he signed in Washington State is unconstitutional. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Part of their overall plan is to try to bankrupt the firearms industry. Yes. Let's just tie him up in court, use taxpayer dollars to do it, and it infuriates red taxpayers that are funding this nonsense. You know, advice, pack up and move, but I know that's hard to do. It's easier said than done. So that's why you have to get in this fight. You cannot leave. You have to fight. You've got to fight for your own, you know, for your own family and for generations to come. You have to do it.
Well, it's well said, and you do such a great job. I know you just celebrated, what, 14 years, Mark? Is that right?
Yeah, 14-year anniversary yesterday. Started as a one-hour show heard within Atlanta, inside the perimeter only. And today begins our 15th year on the airwaves, on hundreds of radio stations, on the weekend show. Now a close pushing 60 on the 4 to 6 p.m. Every day, Monday through Friday, Armed American Radio Daily Defense. So we're doing something right. I know the timing is right. I'd like to think there's a little bit of talent there, but I think more people are starved for this information, brothers. They're just starved for it.
Yeah,
we need to get it out there. Absolutely. Okay, so if I have my druthers, do I buy a smoker first or do I buy another firearm first?
Oh, wow. Well, in order to grill while armed, you said another firearm, so I'm going to assume you. I'd go with the smoker first.
Okay. Since you already got one firearm.
Then pair it up with a great gun that you saw in the book for it, you know?
Okay. That
sounds
sound
good.
Like my wife.
Yeah, that's right. Just hold off on that, honey, right? Is that what you get all the time? Mark Walters. You're great, man. We appreciate having you on. We'll be listening on Armed American Radio.
Hey, by the way, if it makes any sense to you guys, my last year on my wife's birthday, I bought a new cooker for me. She doesn't let me. She never lets me forget that.
Yeah, but she benefits. She benefits from that, right?
She absolutely, yeah, absolutely does. I've got six of them now. She doesn't know what to do anymore.
Oh,
go buy a new gun now. See, that's how it works.
I love it, Mark. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Bo and Mark, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Keep up the fight, guys.
You bet. ArmedAmericanRadio.org. Go check him out there. You can listen to Mark anytime you want to. It's fantastic. That's good stuff. Hey, speaking of shooting, you got any good shotguns over there, Bo?
Maybe one.
There's a great charity event coming up. You have an opportunity to take part in. I'm going to be there for sure. We'll talk to our friend Chad Hansen about the Jeff Hansen Memorial Foundation Sporting Clay event coming up. We'll be right back. Here with us, it is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Part of being in the Great Outdoors to meet Bo is getting out on a skeet or a trap range every once in a while and trying out my skills. My dad was a really good trap shooter. My son is a really good trap shooter. They all joked that it skipped a generation.
It's all about the lead, right? It's all about the lead of the actual clay. Is that correct?
Well, it helps.
I've only done it a handful of times.
It helps. The really good shooters will teach you that it's all about that. You have to follow through. You don't stop moving the gun once you pull the trigger. And it also spreads out the spray when you do it of the pellets.
Oh.
So there is a skill to it. It takes a little bit of practice, and it's not like riding a bike, unfortunately. But
there's a couple of big events coming up in May, and we're going to talk about one of them right now. But I'm going out to St. Louis Trap and Skeet. I was invited as a guest because you're a member. You're a family member, right?
I am, yes.
Going out there Saturday of this weekend. So if you're listening to this after that moment, I'll tell you, I'm going to practice this weekend because I've got to with these other events coming up.
Yeah, you need to get a few rounds in for sure. That helps. But I'll tell you one place that it may not help you is in sporting clays. That's the event we're going to talk about now. My friend Chad Hansen is joining us, of course, of Hansen's Tree Service. And Chad, great to have you on again. How are you?
I am doing well, fellas. How we doing?
we're doing great. Listen, we appreciate your support of the radio station. Let me say that up front. Thank you for all that you do. Your dad was a great supporter of this radio station too, and I know this event that's coming up is the 8th annual Jeff Hansen Memorial Foundation Sporting Clay event. It's going to be coming up on May 20th out in Old Monroe, Missouri at the Black Hawk Valley Hunting Preserve. Great facility up there. I've been out there with you quite a few times over the years. Tell us a little bit about the foundation. What are we doing with the money that's raised?
So the money that gets raised, try to keep it as local as we can. You know, my dad supported a lot of different local charities, but, you know, to name a few, I mean, we've spent some money with the Lindenwood University, the shooting team.
Yes.
We've donated to them. Smile Train, which my dad had a submucous cleft palate, so he had a soft spot in his heart for that type of, medical issues. So we've donated to them, a few other like local, elderly charities, and just try to keep the money, you know, as local as possible to help people in our own community, that we may, see every day.
Well, it's a great way to keep his memory alive. I appreciate what you guys have done. I know we've gone and shot some pheasants in the past, some bird hunting, and now we've kind of switched over to the sporting clays. But I was kind of joking with Bo about this, but you can trap shoot and skeet shoot all day, and it still may not help you on a sporting clay range.
Yeah, you know, they're all kind of their own different style of sport. So you get used to one, doesn't mean you're good at the other, kind of, you know. I compare it to golf, but you know, it's kind of like if you're good at basketball, it doesn't mean you're going to be good at golf. So they're all a little bit different.
Okay, for those that don't know, as I'm pointing to myself, a trap and skeet, I know what that is. What's sporting play? Am I unaware?
Yeah.
Is this the one with the rabbits that
yes.
run?
Yeah. So it is just a different variation. There's no trap and skeet. You know, those are set. So you either have targets that basically fly straight away from you or targets that fly from right to left or left to right from you. Sporting clays is very much like golf. There's multiple stations that you walk around to, and each station, you know, is different. So there could be rabbits bouncing on the ground. There could be birds flying away from you, birds flying towards you, across from you, going straight up in the air, down at the ground. It's just, it changes at every station. So there's no, you know, there's nothing that's the same from station to station.
Yeah.
So I have done that twice in my life. And see, this is why I need to practice more. but are you saying that the trap and skeet is really not going to help me with sporting clays, or is it going to give me some familiarity?
Oh, it'll definitely give you some familiarity, for sure. I mean, trap and skeet, you know, is great. And it's, you know, it's hard in its own right, depending on what level and distance you're shooting from. You know, so it'll definitely, there's definitely some things that translate from trap and skeet over into sporting clays and vice versa. But if you know, to say that you can be very proficient at trap and skeet and then go out there and expect the same proficiency without doing it or practicing it would be, I would say, a false statement.
Yeah, I was horrible at it.
Yeah. Also I would add this, though. I just got a new shotgun, and it wasn't cheap. But I'm going to point out, when my son started trap shooting, Chad, years ago, he was down on Team Hinges. And he's out there with my, he started out with my dad's probably 35-year-old Browning shotgun, Remington. Maybe it was the Remington 1100 that he was shooting. And he came back to me after a couple of the competitions, and he said, "You know, Dad, I don't think my gun is good enough." He said, "There's people out here shooting, you know, $15,000 trap guns, and I don't think, and I'm like, "Listen, the pellets come out at the end of the gun. The point is, are you pointing it in the right place?" And eventually, he got a little bit of an upgrade. We bought him a BT-99 at some point once he got better. But I made sure that he improved with that old shotgun first, because you can either point the gun the right way or you can't, and it's not always the equipment, right?
Wow.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can. You know, with getting a custom fit gun, I mean, that can help you a little bit. But I'll tell you, one of the best shooters that I know and that I've ever seen, he's a multiple time world champion and also Olympic medalist. And I've seen him shoot a lot of clay birds with a Browning pump BPS and do absolutely amazing.
And if you can do it with a pump, man, and particularly on if you've got two birds you got to deal with, you got a lot of stuff going on at the same time.
No, that's correct. So it's not always the instrument. Like I said, if that were the case, I'd have new golf clubs every year.
So I'm playing with the same clubs I've had for 20 years, because I figure if Tiger Woods picked him up, he'd still play a hell of a lot better than I do.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for the semi-automatic 12-gauge sporting clay event to happen. That'd be a whole lot easier, because I think the one thing that threw me off on the sporting clays that I did up in, I think it was Defiance, was you had to break the gun down each time to throw in two new shells, and that to me was just, you know, we have technology for this. Can we do a semi-automatic?
Yeah, shotgun? But you're still you're still only getting two shots. I mean, that's the trap. You got one shot. Skeet, you got two shots. Sporting clays, you may shoot twice. Here with us, it is a Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Part of being in the Great Outdoors to meet Bo is getting out on a skeet or a trap range every once in a while and trying out my skills. My dad was a really good trap shooter. My son is a really good trap shooter. They all joke that it skipped a generation.
It's all about the lead, right? It's all about the lead of the actual clay. Is that correct?
Well, it helps.
I've only done it a handful of times.
It helps. The really good shooters will teach you that it's all about that. You follow. You have to follow through. You don't stop moving the gun once you pull the trigger. And that and it also spreads out the spray when you do it of the pellets.
Oh.
So there is a skill to it. It takes a little bit of practice, and it's not like riding a bike, unfortunately. But
there's a couple of big events coming up in May, and we're going to talk about one of them right now. But I'm going out to St. Louis Trap and Skeet. I was invited as a guest because you're a member, you're a family member, right?
I am, yes.
Going out there Saturday of this weekend, so if you're listening to this after this, that moment, I'll tell you, I'm going to practice this weekend because I've got to with these other events coming up.
Yeah, you need to get a few rounds in for sure. That helps. But I'll tell you one place that it may not help you is in sporting clays. That's the event we're going to talk about now. My friend Chad Hansen is joining us, of course, of Hansen's Tree Service. And Chad, great to have you on again. How are you?
I am doing well, fellas. How we doing?
we're doing great. Listen, we appreciate your support of the radio station. Let me say that up front. Thank you for all that you do. Your dad was a great supporter of this radio station too, and I know this event that's coming up is the 8th annual Jeff Hansen Memorial Foundation Sporting Clay event. It's going to be coming up on May 20th out in Old Monroe, Missouri at the Black Hawk Valley Hunting Preserve. Great facility up there. I've been out there with you quite a few times over the years. Tell us a little bit about the foundation. What are we doing with the money that's raised?
So the money that gets raised, try to keep it as local as we can. You know, my dad supported a lot of different local charities, but, you know, to name a few, I mean, we've spent some money with the Lindenwood University, the shooting team.
Yes.
We've donated to them. Smile Train, which my dad had a submucous cleft palate, so he had a soft spot in his heart for that type of medical issues. So we've donated to them, a few other like local elderly charities, and just try to keep the money, you know, as local as possible to help people in our own community that we may see every day.
Well, it's a great way to keep his memory alive. I appreciate what you guys have done. I know we've gone and shot some pheasants in the past, some bird hunting, and now we've kind of switched over to the sporting clays. But I was kind of joking with Bo about this, but you can trap shoot and skeet shoot all day, and it still may not help you on a sporting clay range.
Yeah, you know, they're all kind of their own different style of sport. So you get used to one, doesn't mean you're good at the other, kind of, you know. I compare it to golf, but you know, it's kind of like if you're good at basketball, it doesn't mean you're going to be good at golf. So they're all a little bit different.
Okay, for those that don't know, as I'm pointing to myself, a trap and skeet. I know what that is. What's sporting clay? Am I aware?
Yeah.
Is this the one with the rabbits that
yes.
run?
Yeah. So it is just a different variation. There's no trap and skeet. You know, those are set. So you either have targets that basically fly straight away from you, or targets that fly from right to left or left to right from you. Sporting clays is very much like golf. There's multiple stations that you walk around to, and each station, you know, is different. So there could be rabbits bouncing on the ground. There could be birds flying away from you, birds flying towards you, across from you, going straight up in the air, down at the ground. It's just, it changes at every station. So there's no, you know, there's nothing that's the same from station to station.
Yeah.
So I have done that twice in my life. And see, this is why I need to practice more. but are you saying that the trap and skeet is really not going to help me with sporting clays, or is it going to give me some familiarity?
Oh, it'll definitely give you some familiarity, for sure. I mean, trap and skeet, you know, is great. And it's, you know, it's hard in its own right, depending on what level and distance you're shooting from. You know, so it'll definitely, there's definitely some things that translate from trap and skeet over into sporting clays and vice versa. But if you know, to say that you can be very proficient at trap and skeet and then go out there and expect the same proficiency without doing it or practicing it would be, I would say, a false statement.
Yeah, I was horrible at it.
Yeah. Also I would add this, though. I just got a new shotgun, and it wasn't cheap. But I'm going to point out, when my son started trap shooting, Chad, years ago, he was down on Team Hinges. And he's out there with he started out with my dad's probably 35-year-old Browning shotgun, Remington. Maybe it was the Remington 1100 that he was shooting. And he came back to me after a couple of the competitions, and he said, you know, Dad, I don't think my gun is good enough. He said there's people out here shooting, you know, $15,000 trap guns, and I don't think I'm like, listen, the pellets come out of the end of the gun. The point is, are you pointing it in the right place? And eventually he got a little bit of an upgrade. We bought him a BT-99 at some point once he got better. But I made sure that he improved with that old shotgun first, because you can either point the gun the right way or you can't, and it's not always the equipment, right?
Wow.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can, you know, with getting a custom fit gun, I mean, that can help you a little bit. But I'll tell you, one of the best shooters that I know that I've ever seen, he's a multiple time world champion and also Olympic medalist. And I've seen him shoot a lot of clay birds with a Browning pump BPF and do absolutely amazing.
And if you can do it with a pump, man, and particularly on if you've got two birds you got to deal with, you got a lot of stuff going on at the same time.
No, that's correct. So it's not always the instrument. Like I said, if that were the case, I'd have new golf clubs every year.
So I'm playing with the same clubs I've had for 20 years, because I figure if Tiger Woods picked him up, he'd still play a hell of a lot better than I do.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for the semi-automatic 12-gauge sporting clay event to happen. That'd be a whole lot easier, because I think the one thing that threw me off on the sporting clays that I did up in, I think it was Defiance, was you had to break the gun down each time to throw in two new shells. And that to me was just, you know, we have technology for this. Can we do a semi-automatic?
Yeah, but you're still only getting two shots. I mean, that's the trap, you got one shot. Skeet, you got two shots. Sporting clays, you may shoot twice at the same station, but you're usually just getting a couple of shots. So, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
It depends. Everyone is a little different, but I don't know. But Chad, I tell you, this is a great event. Tell people now, You've got sponsorships still available? Because clearly the point here is not just to have teams come up there, but the more sponsors you get, the more money we're making for the foundation, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. So team, you know, team spots are still available. Sponsorships are still available. You know, as many as we can get, you know, all the money goes right back into the community. We don't keep any of it. So it'll go, all goes right back in. You know, you can check out the Hanson's Tree Facebook page. We have information up there, as well as JeffHansonMemorialFoundation.com. To get more information on it.
Yeah, we're going to have all the details up on our website at 971 as well, 971talk.com. We'll try to get that stuff up there, because you and I talked about it on my show this week, so I know we've still got probably the flyer up there. But again, it is the 20th of May up at Black Hawk Valley Hunting Preserve, and I hope people can show up, because it includes breakfast, and then we have the shoot, and then we have lunch afterwards, which is always outstanding, and there are lots of prizes given away in addition to some auction items, so that's good stuff.
Yeah, we always try to have a good full boat of fun activities and raffles, and like I said on your show the other day, we got the flamethrower we're raffling off this year with a couple other guns, so it should be a fun, a pretty fun raffle event this year.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
My attention now.
Go ahead.
What's that? No, I was just going to say, how many in years past, how many shooters have you had? Because I know when we do our poker bash, it's like, okay, how many players did we have last year? Can you give a number?
Last year we were a little over 100.
Okay.
Shooters. Right. So, but yeah, it was a pretty full house, and you know, the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's great, and this is a, you know, I would say a kind of a family friendly event. We welcome kids as well, so we love teaching young ones how to shoot and how to get introduced to the sport.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's all part of it. Well, you know, I mentioned this earlier because obviously Chad is, his day job is Hanson's Tree Service, and you guys have been busy with all these storms moving through, huh?
We have been busy. The wind definitely keeps us hopping, so I feel like you know, we're kind of just getting started, so we'll see what the rest of the spring brings.
Yeah. I love seeing your trucks running around, man, and you know, the something has happened bad, and I'm sure you deal with, you know, trees on houses and things like that, but you guys are top notch in my book, and as far as tree service goes.
Well, I appreciate it. We try to do our best. There's you know, there's a lot of challenges we face, but yeah, we try to be good to the people that we work for and do a good job, and just keep everything reputable.
Dangerous, man.
Yeah, no, it is. Yes, it is. It can be dangerous work. And you know, when you had me out there at your facility in St. Charles County, it was, you can see the metal trees and stuff that you guys use for training, right? To train your folks up. Yeah.
I mean, like you mentioned earlier, it is a very dangerous occupation. I don't think people realize, but we go back and forth with deep sea fishing and oil rigging for the most dangerous occupation in America. And I think last year we had, our industry unfortunately had the most deaths per capita again last year. Yeah, it's just that there's a lot of unknown variables when you get into doing some of the work that we do. And, you know, unfortunately it's extremely dangerous. So we take training very, you know, very seriously. You know, all of our employees go through training programs throughout the year. We have a big steel tree that we basically fabricated together so we can teach people the basics in a kind of a controlled environment before we send them out there in a live tree that may have some unknown soft spots or dead spots or any other variables. So it's a constant evolution of training.
It's a great point. And Chad, you know, I should have warned you about this before I brought it up on the radio. So hopefully you're comfortable with me mentioning it, but we do Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors here. We talk about the shooting sports and stuff and trips all the time. You told me about a recent safari trip you were able to go on. Can you share some of those details with the folks?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was lucky enough to go on a safari, you know, about a month ago in South Africa, and definitely a first for me, and definitely quite the experience. It was, you never know what to expect. You know, I'd heard all kinds of things, but man, it was so cool. I definitely plan to do it again, but I was able to get an impala, a zebra, and a warthog, and just the amount of animals that you see. I mean, you see a lot of animals over here in the States, and, you know, deer and elk and stuff like that. But I mean, just the amount of animals that you see over there. I mean, it's nothing to see, you know, hundreds of different animals throughout the day. just by driving around in the back of their Jeeps. It's just incredible. So even if I didn't get to shoot anything, I mean, it was still an amazing experience. But the fact that I did, you know, come home with three different animals was a blessing and something I look forward to doing again.
Yeah, and when you and I talked about, you don't have to mention the price you paid to do it, but when you and I talked about it, it was a lot less expensive than I envisioned.
Oh, very much so, yeah. I mean, you know, for what you pay for a good elk hunt in the States, you can go to South Africa and harvest several animals, you know, and sometimes for even less. So it's not as outlandish as you think, you know, just off the top of your head, because it's, you know, half the world away. You know, I always assumed that, but when I started looking into it, I was like, wow, I was shocked. You know, this is actually somewhat affordable. Now, you know, if you go over there and want to, you know, shoot one of what they call the Dangerous Five, you know, that's when the prices start going up. When you get into the rhinos and the lions, I mean, you're looking, you know, significant money at that point. But if you want to shoot some of the more common, less dangerous game over there, it's very reasonably priced.
Yeah, and you don't have to get in the lottery.
And it's so important, too, because as I learned over the years, that the money that they have no tourism except for safaris and maybe a few other things, but that money is so important for fresh water and maybe electricity and food items, things like that. So really, it is a huge benefit when people want to say, yeah, I can't believe you shot that. No. This is what they do. This is the only way they can raise that money.
Well, especially in the areas, you know, in South Africa, you know, these countries all have different laws, and, you know, this is a major part of their economy. But I will tell you, just from a conservation and sustainment standpoint, I was amazed. You know, these people are farmers. They take care of these animals, and they know the population that is on their property. And, you know, by law, they basically control the population. The government doesn't tell them what they can and cannot harvest. That they are in control of that population. So they make sure that their herds are well taken care of. They don't interfere with the natural life cycle, but, you know, they don't allow people to hunt more than what they can sustain on the property. So, you know, I didn't see a massive lack of population of any of the animals, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a great, but it sounds like a great experience. Chad, listen, looking forward to seeing you on May 20th, my friend. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and can't wait to see you out there.
Good stuff. Chad Hansen from Hansen's Tree Service, hansenstree.com, and we have more information on the Sporting Clay event coming up on my website there at 971talk.com. Good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a busy guy right there. I wonder how many employees he has, because you see their trucks all over the place.
Yeah.
And heading out of town when there's, you know, danger in Arkansas or Kentucky or whatever. They're great first responders, if you will.
Working hard. Hey, that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.